This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Now the latest in that phone hacking scandal involving Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation. Yesterday, two top company names resigned. Rebecca Brooks, the chief executive of Mr. Murdoch's British newspaper operations. And then last night, Les Hinton, the chairman of Dow Jones, stepped down as well. Yesterday, Mr. Murdoch met with and apologized to the family of a murdered schoolgirl whose cell phone was allegedly hacked into by News of the World reporters. Earlier in the week, he had to abandon his $12 billion bid to take over Sky B, the British broadcaster. And meanwhile, the FBI has opened an investigation into whether reporters working for News Corp tried to access cell phone messages and records of 9/11 victims here in the United States. For more, we're joined by Clive Crook, columnist for the Financial Times, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly, who's here in our studios. Clive, thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure.
Help us understand how serious all these hits, the resignations, the abject apologies that Mr. Murdoch has had to make for the first time in my memory, how big a dent they represent in his holdings and his influence.
Well, it's huge. I mean, just listening to you list that catalog of disasters, I mean, each one came as another big shock. It was bad enough to begin with. You know, as you say, it began with the scandal over the hacking of the kidnapped girl's phone. Mm-hmm. But it seems like every day there's a new thing. And, you know, News Corp's efforts to stop the rot have failed again and again. You know, they dramatically closed down one of their oldest British papers, which was at the time regarded as a huge thing. And mm-hmm. I think they hoped that would, you know, stop the crisis right there. But it's failed. And so far, nothing they've done has been enough. The apologies, you know, the appearances, the resignations, it's still going on. As you know, on Tuesday, Rupert Murdoch and his son will go before the House of Commons committee, give evidence on the crisis. Who knows what's going to happen at that? So, I mean, they're very far from stabilizing the situation. And I think it is beginning to feed back in a big way on their business.
And let me draw you out about that. Can you foresee them having to make incisions in their holdings? I mean, there are the inevitable reports of how that might affect it.
People are talking about it now that, you know, there's discussion about whether they'll retain the newspaper business in Britain. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, it would be tempting for them to get rid of it because it's not all that profitable. It used to be. I mean, when Murdoch first acquired this business in Britain, it was a cash cow. I mean, it financed a lot of his other undertakings. And, you know, he ran it very well from a commercial point of view. But, you know, as you know, the internet revolution has turned the economics of the newspaper business upside down. And they're no longer critical by any means to his business. A lot of people would say, some of his shareholders would say, they're actually a drag on the business. So I wouldn't be surprised. Much as he would hate to get rid of them, because I think he enjoys owning them. He is a newspaper man to his fingertips. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up having to shed that business. And then, you know, this is a bit more remote, but questions begin to arise about his holdings in the U.S. as well, depending on how that side of the story plays out.
Are there some observations to be made over the past couple of weeks since the scandal has been unfolding about the differences in press between the U.S. and political influence between the U.S. and the U.K.? And we note you're part of the flowering of the interchange between the two.
Yes, that's right. Flowering is the word. Yes, that's right. Well, I think there are a couple of things that strike me. One, I think, has already attracted quite a lot of attention, and that is the, I don't want to seem too disloyal to my British colleagues, but I think few would disagree that standards and practices in the news gathering business are lower in Britain. I mean, one of the striking things is that these kinds of shady dealings were sort of tacitly accepted for years in Britain, went on for a long time. And it was only when this allegation about hacking the dead girl's phone came out that people were so scandalized that they turned around and began denouncing practices that really the country had put up with for a long time. Those standards would never have been accepted in the U.S. So that's one big difference. But I want to draw attention to another.
Yeah,
the political influence thing is very interesting. an important aspect of this story in Britain is the close relationship between the newspaper business, Rupert Murdoch's business, and leading politicians. Not just the Tories, though the current Prime Minister is very embarrassed by this, but Labour was just the same. All the parties are just the same. They have to get on with the newspapers. And why is that? I think it's interesting that they have to because Britain has largely succeeded in getting money out of politics, something many Americans would like to do here. The consequence of doing that is that the newspapers become incredibly important, and you have to have them in your pocket if you're going to do well.
Clive Crook of the Financial Times and Atlantic Monthly, thanks so much.